Thank you, Professor, for the introduction. So the title of our seminar today is IBM iLoxiPlex, what is inside?
Yeah. Just a quick question. Can everybody can hear Ricardo well? Okay.
I can hear him.
Yes.
Okay, good.
Hear him well,
yeah. Yeah, thank you. Okay. So again, if you please mute, but I just wanted to make sure the sound is okay. Right.
Okay, so the title is what is inside of the box, and the goal today is to try to give you an overview of some of the features of so the goal is to give you some an overview of the most recent features and capabilities of CPLEX. I will start with an introduction, what is CPLEX, the types of problems it can solve, and some history. And then I will go through the optimizer available and the some heuristic-based algorithms. I will talk a little bit about parallelization tools, and I will conclude with some final remarks. So first of all, what is CPLEX? So nowadays, CPLEX, it is an optimization software package. It's not only a simple algorithm to solve LP problems or to solve MLP problems. It's a set of tools that involves algorithms, tools, and interfaces for language, like, for example, for Python, C++, and to software like Excel. And CPLEX is nowadays commercialized by IBM iLog. So what type of problems can CPLEX solve? So today we are going to focus on linear programming and mixed integer programming problems, but it can solve also a set of quadratic programs that I'm going to walk you through. In addition, CPLEX can also be used to solve MINLP problems, mixed integer nonlinear programming problems. So the first type of problems that CPLEX was able to solve was linear programming problems, where we want to maximize an objective function that is linear, subject to a set of inequalities, all linear, where the x variables are continuous and can have upper and lower bounds. C and B are parameters, and A is a matrix. So the next type of problems that CPLEX can solve are the mixed integer linear programming problems, where in addition we have binary variables or integer variables, here represented by y. And then we have the set of quadratic programs, where we have a bilinear term in the objective function, and we have also a set of inequality constraints. If the matrix Q is positive semi-definite, then the problem Kp is convex, and we can solve this type of problems using CPLEX. Then there is another type of problems, that is the mixed integer quadratic program, where some of the variables x can be integer or binary variables. In addition, we have the quadratic constraint programming problems, where there is a bilinear term in the inequalities, and these problems can be transformed to QP, and in fact CPLEX is doing that automatically and solving them as a QP. And then we have the last type of problems, where some of the variables can be integer of binary, and we have a mixed integer quadratic constraint program. These two last types of problems are transformed by CPLEX into QP problems. So let's see some of the CPLEX history and facts to try to understand what was the progress of CPLEX and what were the features, the evolution of features and capabilities of CPLEX. So CPLEX started with Robert Bixby that write an LP code, and he started the commercialization of this LP code through a company called CPLEX Optimization Inc. So this was in 1988, and then in 1992 we have the first mixed integer optimizer. Then in 1997, it was acquired by iLog, and later it was acquired by IBM. And in 2010, we have our latest release, that is 12.2. Meanwhile, in 2008, some of the main developers of the code, including Bixby, Gu, and Rotherberg, they left iLog, and they found Gurobi optimization that is now competing with CPLEX. So as I said before, CPLEX started with CPLEX 1.0, only with an LP solver. Some years later, it had the first simple branch and bound code, and in 1998, it had a simple branch and bound, with limited cuts, some heuristics, and a faster dual simplex. Then, in 1999, this version 6.5, it had 5 different node heuristics and 6 different types of cutting planes. Then, in 2000, were introduced the semi-continuous and semi-integer variables. The default LP method is now the dual simplex. It was introduced the pre-processing and some additional cuts. Then, in 2002, there was a new method for solving the LP models, that is sifting, and that is a method that will solve a sequence of LP problems and adding constraints to the original problem. Then we have the concurrent optimization in 2002 that we are going to talk a little bit later, and 9 different types of cutting planes. So in the last 10 years, we had Simplex 9 in 2003, where it was introduced a new type of heuristic, the relaxation-induced neighborhood search. Then in 2006, we have indicator variables, and we have also solution polishing. Lately, in 2007-2010, we had the tuning tool, the option to run problems in parallel, and the latest version, they claim that is faster solving MIPs. I think that they always claim that. They have multi-commodity flow cuts, they have some enhanced heuristics, and they have what they call enhanced dynamic search, that by their documentation they call this a new solver for MLP problems. So if we check the type of improvements Simplex had, first the improvements were first at the level of the LP solvers, at the level of the pre-processing of the problems, algebra for sparse systems, different types of methods, the primal, the dual, and some techniques to avoid degeneracy and numerical difficulties. When the LP solvers were robust enough, they start to develop more the area of the cutting planes. They went to the literature research and they start to implement lots of the cutting planes that were available in the literature. Lately, the main improvements have been at the level of heuristics, node heuristics, where they use some heuristics that we are going to see later, but they also use some logical implications of these heuristics. And lately, we have parallelization with the search in the branch and bound, and the barrier method also parallelized. In addition, we have all the machine improvements that allow us to solve larger and larger problems with Simplex. So let's take a quick look to the kind of the progress of solving LPs. So I went to some literature, to some history, to check what was the progress. And what we see in this slide was that 50 years ago, it took a long time to solve these LP problems, and mainly because, of course, computational problems, the computers were not so fast, algorithms, but also because of numerical problems, numerical instabilities. Some evolution reported by Bixby, comparing the solution of LP problems between 1984 and 2004, claims that the improvements were at the level of algorithms, the machines, and the net improvement from 1984 to 2004 is about 5.3 million times faster. That means that some LP problem that took 5 days solving in 1984 nowadays will take 0.08 seconds. So I made a simple experiment using Simplex 7.1 and Simplex 12.2 in the same machine. And I tried to solve the LP model with around 60,000 equations and 69,000 variables. And I start by solving this with a simplex, primal simplex, and dual simplex in the same machine with Simplex 7.1 and Simplex 12.2. What we can see here is primal simplex is faster, and there was a big improvement from 7.1 to 12.2. If we add to this pool the 3 other algorithms that nowadays are available, we can see that there is an improvement with network simplex in the version 7.1, but not in the version 12.2. And then when we see the results with the barrier, 97 seconds in 7.1 and 18 seconds in 12.2. So there is a clear advantage when you go from 7.1 primal simplex with a barrier, 18 seconds. Mainly, this advantage of the barrier is because it can, I'm using here 8 threads to solve the barrier, and the barrier is parallelizing the solution. So what are the optimization algorithms available in Cplex? So we have the simplex optimizers, the primal dual network to solve the LP and KP. We have the barrier optimizer, and we have the solvers for the mixed integer optimizers. We have the branch and cut, and we have the dynamic search. Some remarks. First, the barrier optimizer can explore the presence of multiple threads. So whenever you are solving a single LP problem, it may be faster, as I show you, than all the other solvers. However, the barrier optimizer has a strong limitation in terms of application and branch and bound. That is, it doesn't have the facility or the option to start from an advanced basis, add one more equation, and re-optimize really fast the problem. That's why the simplex algorithm is the main algorithm used in the branch and bound, because it is faster when starting from a previous basis with one more constraint. So for the mixed integer optimizers, and this will be the main focus of this talk now on, so they claim in the documentation that they have a branch and cut algorithm, but also an algorithm called the dynamic search that they call that is a new algorithm to solve MLPs. It is a branch and cut based, and some additional information is that we cannot use some user callbacks. So I contact two people from IBM iLog asking for, okay, what is inside of this black box called a dynamic search? And they answer me, well, it is a IBM trade secret, one, and the other one has replied to me, the methodology is proprietary. In addition, one of them asked me, why do you want to know this? So it seems that is a big important secret for them. So in the rest of this talk, I will analyze some of the features and some of the capabilities of Cplex, and I will use 3 different examples to show some performance, to show the performance of Cplex. I will use a first example that is a mixed integer linear programming model from the GAMS library. It is basically a unit commitment problem. It is related with energy. And then I will use 2 scheduling models that I use and that are important to me, and that is important to me that Cplex solves these problems with efficiency. So the first one, the first scheduling problem, it is a continuous time slot-based model for scheduling of continuous process. And the second one is also for the scheduling of continuous process, but it uses a model with a traveling salesman-based constraints. And in this table, we see the size of the problems. So to solve mixed integer linear programming problems, the core algorithm that is available, it is a branch and bound algorithm, where the main idea is to solve a sequence of linear programming relaxations to provide bounds on the mixed integer linear programming problem. So on the left, we have the formulation of the MLP, and on the right, we have the relaxation of the problem, where we relax the variable, the binary variables to the continuous space between 0 and 1. And in this case, we are minimizing, so the linear relaxation will provide us a lower bound on the optimal value of the objective function. And it is important to know that the branch and bound uses this lower bound and upper bound. In this case, the upper bound will be given by integer solutions, and it will try to converge these two bounds and decrease the gap between them. But in fact, the branch and bound is not suitable for large-scale problems. The number of iterations will grow exponential with the number of variables, and in fact, what Cplex uses, it is a branch and cut algorithm that is based on the branch and bound, plus it is applied, this branch and bound, it's applied to a reformulation of the set V that defines the feasible space, the feasible region, using first a pre-processing step that I'm going to talk later, and by the addition of cutting planes. So from IBM, this is the flow chart of the branch and cut algorithm that is within Cplex. It will start with a pre-processing step. It will then solve a linear relaxation at the root node. It will check if the variables are integer or binary, you will update incumbent, and then it will go through a sequence of steps. Add cuts, apply heuristics, choose an integer variable, and select a subproblem to solve. But even before we start the branch and bound tree, we have several operations at the root node. So what we have is a pre-processing step, and then at the root node, we have an iteration scheme that will solve the linear programming, check the variables, and then add cuts and apply heuristics and solve again the linear relaxation. So even before it starts to branch on the tree, it will perform several tasks at the level of the root node. So let's see some of the steps that are involved in the pre-processing and the probing. So the goal of the pre-processing and the probing is to reduce the size of the model and improve the formulation. So a new model is defined, a different model, with a tighter formulation without trying to increase the size of the problem. And this is independent of the relaxation solution. So at this level of pre-processing and probing, it's not adding cuts here, but is trying to decrease the size of the problem. So some of the techniques used are the pre-processing and the probing. At the pre-processing level, what we have is the identification of infeasibility, identification of redundancy, improve the bounds, and rounding some of the upper and lower bounds. The way this is done is that you will check each inequality, and you will check the values of the lower and upper bounds for the variables, and it will try to identify if they are infeasible, if the space is infeasible, or if there are some redundant equations. The probing techniques, what they do is they fix binary variables to the lower and the upper bound. Then they will kind of create all the logical implications of that, and then inequality by inequality, they will see if they can fix binary variables, improve the coefficients, all using logical implications. The pre-processing techniques and the probing techniques are both mathematically formalized in the paper of Savelsberg, 1994, and the book of Wolsey, Integer Programming. So here, in this slide, I have a small example of the effect of pre-processing in an LP problem. We have the LP problem on the left, that is a LP problem with three inequality and an objective function. And if you look to the output of Cplex on the right, Cplex can eliminate all the equations and all the variables, and at the end, the final solution is just given by a simple multiplication. So at the level of the root node, we have, after the pre-processing, we have the application of several heuristics. And why heuristics? Well, because these heuristics, they can achieve solutions of difficult MLP problems by explorating parts of the tree that the solver will not if you have a maximum time and you don't reach the optimal solution. So it may provide good solutions quickly, and it may help to provide optimality by pruning nodes more efficiently or by providing integer solutions. There are two types of heuristics in Cplex. One is the node heuristics, type of diving heuristics, and the neighborhood exploration. If you look to the output, the log file of Cplex, the heuristic solutions are represented by a plus sign in the Cplex output. There is an asterisk for a new solution and a plus sign whenever there is a solution obtained by an heuristic. So the heuristics at the root node are basically what they call the diving heuristics. And what they do is the following. They will pick a set of integer infeasible variables. They will fix them. They will do some bound strengthening for the remaining variables. And then they will solve an LP relaxation. And they will repeat this process several times, trying to look for integer solutions. Basically, what they are doing is looking down the tree for solutions. The other type of the heuristics are what they call the neighborhood. And they are implemented the local branching, relaxation-induced, guided dives, and the solution polishing. And we are going to talk about the relaxation-induced and the evolutionary algorithm later. But now, let me show you an example of a mixed integer linear programming problem from the book of Wolsey, Integer Programming, where in the book, they state they can solve this problem with three iterations using a branch and cut algorithm solving three nodes. So I try to solve this program this problem with CPLEX, and what we can see first is that CPLEX was able to solve this problem at the root node, and four out of five solutions were obtained using heuristics. So in fact, what is happening here at the root node is solving linear relaxation, is adding cuts, as we can see at the right, and is applying some heuristics and is obtaining solutions because of the heuristics. An interesting thing is that here we say that the problem was solved at the root node, but in fact it seems that it solved several LP problems. So in fact it is at the root node, but it may have solved other nodes, but it is reported at the root node. So the next type of heuristics that I would like to talk about is the neighborhood heuristics, and what is the impact of these heuristics in the performance of CPLEX. So the first heuristic that I'm going to present is this relaxation-induced neighborhood search, where the idea is to explore the neighborhood of the incumbent to find better solutions. And the algorithm is really simple. At a given node, the heuristic will pick the incumbent and it will pick the relaxation, and it will fix the binary variables that have the same value in the both solutions. It will fix those binary variables and it will solve a sub-MIP on the remaining variables. So as an example, if we have the relaxation with these variables and the incumbent with these, it will fix variable x2 and x4 equal to 0 and 1, and it will solve a sub-MIP. So this heuristic can greatly improve solutions of poor quality and uses the relaxation to define the neighborhood. Okay. However, if the relaxation is poor, it may lead to the solution of large MIP problems. However, whenever this heuristic is applied, the MLP problems are not solved to optimality, are solved for a given number of nodes, and this heuristic is only applied every F nodes. The second type of heuristic that it has, it is the type of neighborhood solution heuristic, it is the solution polishing, where the idea is also to fix some of the binary variables and solve sub-MIPs. And this heuristic is based on the integration of an evolutionary algorithm within the branch and bound framework, and it can only be used after an incumbent is available. So let's take a look to this integration of the evolutionary algorithm, that is a genetic algorithm with the branch and bound. So consider the tree on the left, where the blue nodes mean that we have found an integer solution. What it will do is it will keep these integer solutions in the solution pool, and then at a different node, when this heuristic it is called, it will pick solutions from this solution pool, apply some genetic operators in order to fix a subset of binary variables. Then it will solve a sub-MIP using also a branch and cut algorithm, and if a new solution is found, you will add the solution to the solution pool, and if it is a better solution than the incumbent, it will update the incumbent. So this heuristic will be applied to improve the incumbent, and it will not change the value of the linear relaxation. So it will apply two steps. The first one is a mutation that first will choose a seed from the pool, and it is a random seed, a random solution from the pool. Then it will apply a random mask, and that random mask will fix some of the binary variables, and then it will solve a sub-MIP with the remaining variables. So in the example on the right, it will only solve a sub-MIP with two binary variables. The second step is a combination operator, where randomly we'll pick a pair of solutions from the pool and we'll fix the binary variables that have the same value, and again solve a sub-MIP. If an integer solution is found, it will add to the solution pool, and if it is better than incumbent, we'll update incumbent. An important keyword in all these steps is the random word. And we are going to talk about this later. So here I have some of the results that I pick up from a paper from Rodeberg, where they study the impact of these heuristics in a set of problems. And the second column is the solution using a strategy that they have defined. And then they solve again this set of problems, adding 50% more time, and first using the defaults in the third column, and the fourth column using a guided search, guided diving, local branches, and this RINS heuristic. And the last column is using the polishing option. And the numbers that are in bold are the improvement of the solution. These represent the optimality gaps at the end. So you can see that, in fact, the polishing option was able to improve several solutions from this set of problems. Some remarks about this. Well, this heuristic, the last one, can only be applied after you get one solution. It will keep the logic of the lower and the upper bound using the branch and bound, and it can be activated, for example, after a given node limit or after some time or within a given percentage, a given gap of the solution. So, for example, whenever you get solutions within 2% of the optimal solution, you can activate this option in order to improve. So, what is the impact of the cutting planes and heuristics in the branch and cut? So it is obvious that heuristics will have a strong impact in the lower bound if the lower bound is the integer solution, because it will try to get new incumbents.
That's maximizing.
Yes, if we are maximizing, right. If we are maximizing, it will be applied, it will improve the lower bound, the integer solution, while the cutting planes will improve the linear relaxation by removing solutions of the linear relaxation. However, the cutting planes are also applied when we solve these sub-MIPs because it uses also branch and cut. Not the same cutting planes, but the cutting planes are also used to improve the sub-MIP, so the cutting planes are also used to improve the integer solution. So the next topic that I would like to talk about is about the parallel option in CPLEX. So the parallelization is available for the branch and cut, for the barrier algorithm, and for the concurrent optimization. The concurrent optimization is mainly the solution in parallel of an LP problem using multiple solvers. So considering that we have a machine with 8 threads and we want to solve an LP problem with this concurrent optimization, so CPLEX, if this option is activated, CPLEX will use the first thread to use the dual simplex, the second thread to use the barrier, and the third thread to use the primal simplex, and the remaining threads are used for the barrier optimizer. At the level of the branch and bound, the parallelization can be used in the solution of the root node using the barrier method, and also in the search during the branching in the tree. For this parallelization, two modes are available, the deterministic and the opportunistic. The deterministic is characterized by invariance and repeatability of the search path and results. If you use 8 threads in deterministic mode, you will get always the same result if you don't use any of the other heuristics that use a random behavior. However, if you use the opportunistic mode, each run may lead to a different search path and different results. However, usually it will outperform the deterministic. So if we try to understand better what is happening in terms of the behavior of these two options, in the top I have the log file for the behavior of the deterministic option, where we can see that it spent more than 300 seconds waiting and synchronizing, and this waiting time and synchronizing time will guarantee that the search will be the same. What is happening here is that branch unbound will keep a list of nodes. It will keep a pool of data, and the way they will access the data, it is synchronized. While in the opportunistic, the synchronization is a little bit, and waiting time is a little bit more than 10 seconds, and there is no synchronization basically here. So let me show you in the first example that I've shown you before, what is the impact of this parallelization and of the deterministic option and opportunistic option. So I solved the energy problem with one thread, and it took 950 seconds to get a gap of zero. And then I solved it with four threads in deterministic mode, and I got 211 seconds. So let's see now what happens when we use the other options. So when I use the opportunistic option, I get 206 seconds. And then when I go to 8 threads in deterministic and opportunistic mode, we get 95 and 61 seconds. So there is a clear advantage of using 8 threads opportunistic mode when compared with only one thread. I have another example here of the behavior of the parallelization. This is the scheduling problem, where I solved first with one thread, and I got the solution on the right that is really bad. I have a maximum time of 1 hour, and in 1 hour, I get a solution with a gap of 101%. If we use four threads, deterministic, we can improve the solution, but even though it's not a very good solution. If we use four threads, opportunistic, we get the solution on the right in red. And then these are the interesting results coming. If we use 8 threads deterministic, we don't get a better solution than using the 4 threads opportunistic, but it is a better solution than the 4 threads deterministic. And then when I run the same problem with 8 threads opportunistic, I get again a really bad solution on the right. Then I just solve the problem again, I do a second run, and in 1 hour I obtain the solution that is on the right. So in fact, what we can see here is a clear improvement of using 8 threads opportunistic compared to only one thread, but we see also that we may have some variability on the results when we use 8 threads opportunistic.
What is first run, second run?
So the first run means that I solved the problem and I got that solution. And then the problem stops, I run again, I optimize again, and I get that solution without changing anything else.
Does it remember the tree? Or what?
No, it does not remember the tree.
It's completely because of randomness.
It is a completely different run. Oh, well, so what I'm showing here is what I'm showing here first is much better to use 8 threads opportunistic when we get to the correct solution.
But yeah, it's like tossing a coin.
It's just like tossing a coin.
It's a little disturbing.
Yes, we'll talk about that like in the last slides. So the next set of results that I'm going to show you, we will study also the impact of the deterministic option, the opportunistic 1, 4, and 8 threads, the effect of the polishing option, and the effect of turning off all the heuristics in the branch and cut. Okay, so these are the results that I obtained for the scheduling problem, the RHS. And what we have here is the number of nodes in the x-axis, and on the y-axis, the value of the objective function. I will change the resolution of this chart. But before that, I would like to show you that what we can see from this chart is that when we turn off all the heuristics, the solutions turn out to be really bad. We start to have solutions later, and the final solution is not even compared with the best solution from the other ones. So in this problem, it is clear that heuristics have a strong impact on the quality of the solutions. So let's change the resolution of this chart. These are the same results, but with a different resolution. What we can see here is that the 4 threads deterministic and the 8 threads deterministic have a large number of solutions at this level. The next chart, what I'm going to do is I'm going to shift the y-axis up and see what is happening in the upper part of the chart. So this is the upper part where we are only showing the solutions with the with objective function better than 2400. And I will call your attention first for the solutions that were obtained only with one thread that are under that are inside of that box. And then on the right, we have the solutions that were obtained with 4 threads deterministic and 8 threads deterministic, the cluster on the right, just above the 60,000 nodes. Then, when we use the opportunistic option with 8 threads and 8 threads, what is happening is that the solutions that are above the 60,000 will shift to the left. So the blue ones there. So what happens is that using the opportunistic option, we can get solutions much earlier and better solutions. And if we use the polishing option with 8 threads deterministic, those are the points, the dots on the most left part of the graph, where we can see that with the polishing option, you start to have results much earlier and better results. If we check what is...
Oh, can you answer a question on that?
Yes.
So how are you using polishing? I mean, have you using polishing after you find the first solution, or...
Yes.
What stage?
Here what I'm doing is I'm using the polishing option after 60 seconds. I'm going to show you that in the next table, in the next slides. But here, after 60 seconds, I use the polishing option. So this is this is the polishing option, 8 threads deterministic, the results, and 8 threads deterministic without the polishing option in terms of CPU time. It found the solution really fast in the beginning, and then it just improved a little bit. While when you don't use the polishing option, you get solutions above 2500 much later.
Mr. Heidi, I have a quick question.
Yes.
When you have polishing option, is the solver using both heuristic, using both polishing method and deterministic way, or?
So what he's doing is using the branch and cut, standard branch and cut, and at a given node, we'll use this polishing option. That means that you will pick solutions from the solution pool, create a new sub-MIP by fixing some of the binary variables and solving a sub-MIP, another branch and bound tree, and then returning the solution to update the incumbent if it is better.
Okay, so it's a combination of both.
Yes, it is a combination of both.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So these the results in this table are, again, the results for the energy problem, where we can see in the last row, the results obtained with the polishing option, that after 1,000 seconds, it was not able to close the gap, okay? But it was able to reach the best known solution, but it was not able to close the gap. Why? Because it spent time solving these sub-MIPs, and it didn't spend any time improving the linear relaxation. So this is an example of an ineffective use of the solution polishing. So the next thing that I would like to talk about is about the feature that they call MIP start. That is the option to start from a user-defined solution. And this solution can be feasible or unfeasible. If the solution is not feasible, CPLEX has some what they call some repair heuristics that will try to repair the solution. And these may help to find a feasible solution. If the solution is feasible, CPLEX will use that as incumbent, and you can start using other type of heuristics like the rinse or the solution polishing. Also, it is useful to, for example, to debug your model. So, for example, let me give you an example of using this MIP start and the solution polishing. So imagine that you have a difficult problem to solve, And this is a strategy that you can apply, for example, with this MIP start. First, you are going to solve a problem where you turn the cuts off and you are just going to rely on the polishing option to find solutions. And you put a maximum time, a small maximum time. You solve this problem, you get an integer solution. You solve another problem where you turn the cuts on, and now you don't use polishing option, or you just use polishing option like in the last 10% of the time. The idea here is that whenever you use the polishing option, the CPLEX will not improve the linear relaxation. So you can divide this in two steps. First, try to get a very good integer solution using this polishing option, and then solve another MLP with the polishing option off, where you try to prove optimality. And I applied this strategy to the problem RHS, and in this table, in the first rows, what we have is the performance of CPLEX for 1, 4 threads and 8 threads, deterministic and opportunistic. And I also have here in the bottom the result of solving this problem with the CPLEX 7.1. No integer solution was found within 1 hour. So when we solve this problem using the polishing solution after 60 seconds, what happened is that, in fact, we got a very good gap, better than the previous one, and we found the best integer solution, the 2610.4, that is better than the solutions that are above. But if you check the value of the linear relaxation at the end, in the colon RMIP, you find that it was the worst linear relaxation. Then I just applied the strategy that I've told you about, where you solve two problems. What happens is that it got the best linear relaxation of the problem, but it was not able to find a very good integer solution. The next thing that I would like to talk about is about the solution pool that is available in CPLEX nowadays. So the motivation for this tool is the following. You may have some value in getting multiple solutions from the solution of MILP. Why? Because probably the model will not capture the full instance of the process, because, for example, you are using some approximation to create the model, or the data is not accurate. So you may want to provide to the final user multiple solutions, and then he will pick the best solution. The goal here is to generate and keep multiple solutions, and CPLEX nowadays is able to have different criteria to keep these solutions. It can keep all the solutions that he found, or it can keep, for example, solutions within a given percentage of the optimal solution, or it can try to keep only solutions that are diverse in some way. You can even specify, I want only solutions that are different in the variable x1, and it will give you a final pool of integer solutions that meet that criteria. One of the examples of application of this solution pool, it was provided by Emily Dana while she was working at CPLEX. Now she's working in Google, where she applies this solution pool to solve a problem using a decomposition strategy, where in the top she will solve a master subproblem. She will pass information to the lower problem as usual, and then she will solve the lower problem and keep multiple solutions of the lower problem, and then pass those solutions to the upper problem, for example, by adding multiple cuts in the upper problem. A difficulty that applying this solution pool may arise when you use like rolling horizon strategies, because you will solve one problem, get 5 solutions, and then if you have to continue this the rolling horizon strategy for 5 solutions, you may have a problem over there. So the last tool that I would like to talk about is about the tuning tool. And the motivation for this tool that is available in CPLEX nowadays is that these MIP solvers, they have nowadays multiple algorithm parameters, multiple options that you can change. And the performance of the solvers depend considerable on these values that are chosen for the parameters. Furthermore, the default parameters that are in the CPLEX, they were determined in order to work well for a large collection of problems. However, they may not work well for your specific problem. So the goal of this tool is try to identify the solver parameters that improve the performance of the solver for your problem or for a given set of problems that you have. And in the next slide, I'm going to show you an example of application of this tuning tool. So I pick the problem of the energy problem, and here I have all the results only for one thread and 8 threads deterministic. So I pick these problems, I apply the tuning tool, and for the case with 8 threads deterministic, it took 327 seconds to apply this tool, and it generates the option file for CPLEX on the right. Then I use this option file for CPLEX to solve again the problem, and let's see the results. So the results are the following. When I use this CPLEX option file for one thread, what we can see is that now instead of 9.49 seconds, it takes 67 seconds. When I use this option file for 8 threads deterministic, now it takes 8 seconds to solve the final LP problem. And if we take a quick look to the CPLEX file, what CPLEX is doing here is turning off the heuristics and is decreasing the number of time that is applying cuts. So it is reducing the time that is spending generating cuts and reducing the time that is applying heuristics. So that seems that when we have CPLEX with all the cuts and all the heuristics to solve this problem, we are trying to kill a fly with a missile. That's why it's taking so long to solve this problem, when if you turn off these options, it will solve the problem in 8 seconds instead of the 95 or the 949. So the last thing that I would like to address in this talk is the variability that nowadays we can have with CPLEX 12.2 if we use some options. Basically, if you use opportunistic parallelization or if you use some heuristics like the polishing option that is based on the random choice of seeds, you may have variability on the computational time, in the performance in terms of nodes and iterations, and in terms of the quality of the solution. These may be particularly relevant whenever you have a maximum time to solve a problem and you cannot find the global optimal solution. So then what will happen is that every time you run, you may get a different solution. So if repeatability and invariance of the results is an important issue for you, you should not use these kind of options, mainly in the development phase where you want to check if the new features that you are adding to the model, like valid inequalities, some cutting planes, if they have any impact or not in the solution of the problem. However, this variability is an opportunity to obtain better solutions. It is clear that you may obtain better solutions using this type of options. So, to conclude, some final remarks. The increasing performance of CPLEX has been allowing us to solve more complex problems. And one of the things that is clear in the documentation is that this performance is the result of several strategies: the cutting planes, the heuristics, the pre-processing, everything together. You should not analyze things individually. The other thing is that the default values for CPLEX may not be a good choice for our specific problem. Okay. The other thing that I think that is not explored is this solution pool that, in fact, may be an important feature to implement some decompositions. In this talk, we have a limited time, so I don't discuss some important topics also. That is the infeasibility analysis tool that is available in CPLEX, that when you solve an LP problem and it is infeasible, it will give you some information why it is infeasible in terms of what are the inequalities that are generating the infeasibility or what are the bounds on the variables. I didn't talk about the interface of Cplex with other applications and programming language. Here, there was no comparison of Cplex performance with other solvers, and we also didn't address the use of callbacks within the branch and cut. So thank you for your attention. I would be glad to take any questions you may have.
Okay, thank you.